Welcome to the ProWrestling.net podcast for Thursday, December 17, 2015. I am Jason Powell here with an audio review of the Ring of Honor television show that aired in syndication over the weekend, but it debuted on Comet TV on December 16, 2015. The show was taped back on November 20th in Nashville, Tennessee. This was the go-home show for Friday's Final Battle pay-per-view. It is a television pay-per-view event, so if you were wondering, is it pay-per-view television? Well, now you know the deal. And I thought this was a solid yet unspectacular go-home show. Solid in the sense that they did a nice job of giving constant reminders and graphic forms and things of that nature for the show, but kind of weak from the standpoint that none of the matches really did much to that. It didn't really play into what we were getting on the pay-per-view. Like, for instance, the main event of the show was Beretta and Rocky Romero against ACH and Matt Sydal, and there's no connection there. We got something a little bit with Dalton Castle and Silas Young are having a match on the show that stemmed from Dalton Castle's basically squash match, but just not enough that I felt like I saw the go home show 2 weeks ago when they had the really good AJ Styles and Jay Lethal confrontation, and it's so rare to hear from AJ Styles or some of these guys who are more part time on the show. I don't know why they don't do more with those guys. I have some other issues with this. I didn't think it was the greatest go-home show, but we've seen worse from Ring of Honor in that regard. And so I'll definitely get into that, but I do want to remind you that we will have live coverage coming up Friday night. I'll be doing live coverage of Final Battle. So as the show airs on pay-per-view, check ProWrestling.net, and you will find my live coverage and commentary. I'm not just going to give you a who beat who. You'll get my live thoughts on the show as the show is playing out. We do that for all the major pay-per-view events, including Wednesday's NXT show that Zach Zimmerman covered. And you get, in addition to getting the who beat who, you also get to find out what we thought right there as it happens. And then Zach Zimmerman and I actually got together on Wednesday after the show and discussed the NXT live special from London for about 48 minutes. That show is available exclusively to .NET members, as will be the Final Battle audio review that I'll be doing either most likely Saturday morning at some point, Saturday afternoon. There's a chance I'll do it late Friday night because I don't think the show starts until 8 Central, 9 Eastern, and so I may just hold off until Saturday to do that show, but that will also be a member-exclusive audio show. The members will also be hearing the .NET Weekly audio show with Will Pruitt and I getting together on Friday to discuss the news of the week and give kind of a preview of the ROH Final Battle pay-per-view along with the news. And, hey, today's the day. Star Wars is out. At least it is in my area. I know some people don't get to see it until Friday. I think it's out most places on Thursday. I am seeing it tonight. And Will and I bring this up because Will and I are going to get together a rare non-wrestling podcast that the members will get. We've had some requests for this because people have heard us like babbling about Star Wars too much. They want to hear our thoughts on it. So we're going to give it to them in an audio, we say 15, 20 minutes, but knowing Will and I, when we get together to discuss Star Wars, we'll be spending a lot of time talking about Star Wars episode 7. The Force Awakens. I cannot wait. I am counting down the minutes. And so that'll be available exclusively to .NET members. I know for some of you, it's like, who gives a damn? But for those of you who do care, trust me, we do. And we're going to spend some time sharing our thoughts on the movie. And I just hope it's a very positive audio review. Fingers crossed. I've never been so nervous for a movie. That's the weirdest thing. But anyway, membership rates start as low as $5.50. A month is what it breaks down to if you take our annual option. If you want to try us out for 1 month, see if we're a good fit for you, you can listen to the TLC audio review, Monday's Raw audio review that I did both of those, did Sunday nights with Jake Barnett regarding TLC. You can try us out for 1 month at the low rate of just $7.50. All the sign-up information available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. You can't miss it. You'll just see sign-up. And click on there, and you will be signed up quickly and have access to all of those things. So if you want to enjoy ad-free access on the website to tonight's ROH Final, or Friday night's ROH Final Battle pay-per-view event, then that's the way to go, and enjoy all those audio perks and a whole lot more. If you have any questions on any of that, of course, you can hit me up on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet. All right, let's get into this show. We got Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness on commentary, and the opening match was Adam Cole beating Corey Hollis, and this was just a pretty straightforward win for Cole. And, you know, for the opening match, I didn't have an issue with it. It's like Cole's going in there to face Kyle O'Reilly on Friday. And so this was just kind of a match for him, a showcase match for Cole. In fact, I thought he gave up a little bit more offense than I thought he would here. Gave up a couple of two, three, you know, I wouldn't even call them. They were two counts. I don't know that people were really, they didn't really convince anyone. I don't think that Hollis was about to win, but he still gave up some offense, but no harm done. Cole is over, and he ends up going over in this match. And then afterward, he said it was time for story time. No, not the backstage video thing that they do. He did this one in the ring. He said he was going to keep it short and sweet. He said that when he makes a promise, he means it. He said that he's not just going to beat Kyle O'Reilly. He promised him and the world that he's going to end Kyle O'Reilly in Ring of Honor once and for all. And they went to a commercial break after that. The interesting part about this, I mean, this show was taped back late November, as I said, and I don't know where things stood at that time as far as contract negotiations went. I know that about 5 days later, we did the .NET Weekly audio show. Darren Gutteridge and I got together for that one and had a lot of details. At first, we broke the news regarding the Ring of Honor working agreement with PWG in that audio the day before Thanksgiving, which just became public knowledge here this past weekend. But we broke that story there, and we also had a lot of contractual information regarding Ring of Honor talent, some deals that are coming up, and some guys that are drawing some NXT / WWE interest. One guy that TNA is said to be interested in. We ran through the entire roster, evaluated where we think guys stand, but it really did become kind of a here's where everybody sits from a contractual standpoint type of a show. It's still available to .NET members. We don't get rid of any of our audio. So just wanted to sneak that in. But the reason I bring that up is because this may actually turn out to be the case, because at last check, and it was probably about a week ago now, I asked about where things stood with Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, because their deals are coming up, and I was told that they're still at a standstill. There hadn't been any discussions about it, and it just kind of sounds like those negotiations fell apart. And so, things can change, obviously, but if they don't, maybe that's why Cole is being so boastful in saying that he is going to rid Ring of Honor of Kyle O'Reilly once and for all. We'll see what happens. Just a lot of little things. I mean, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to about the show. Jay Lethal's contract status is kind of up in the air, and I don't know where things stand with him long-term. Certainly been rumblings about him and NXT as well. So a number of, and I don't know that they're going to give the title to AJ Styles, but certainly worth watching. If you're watching the show, to keep in mind that some of these finishes may be kind of necessary as a result of some of these contractual situations, but they also have the taping. I think it's the next night, so you might get some straightforward stuff on the pay-per-view, but that taping is also one to watch. But anyway, coming out of the break, the broadcast team hyped the Briscoes against the Young Bucks, against the All Night Express for Final Battle. And the way they set this up in past weeks on television was basically to have one team beat the other, and then that team would beat the other. It is just kind of a back-and-forth thing. They are going to determine the new number one contenders for the tag team champions on Final Battle. So it's a three-way between the Briscoes, the Bucks, and All Night Express. Haven't been wowed by what they've done with All Night Express since they made their return to Ring of Honor. They just kind of feel like another tag team. They didn't do a good job with them on the television show. They just, it's like they're back and you should know who they are. And shame on you for not watching if you don't. They really didn't do anything to showcase them for newer viewers. Second match, though, was War Machine beating the Washington Bullets. And the Washington Bullets, they go by the name of John and Trey. And this was pretty straightforward. This was War Machine. And this is another one. I didn't have a problem with War Machine going over the way they did. They are the challengers for the tag titles at Final Battle. And so it was kind of a showcase match for them. They did go to a commercial after this break. They just won in dominating fashion, which makes sense. They're the babyface challengers. Decent chance you see the tag titles change coming up on Friday, because Michael Bennett and Maria. Maria hasn't made it to any secret on Twitter that she pointed out a while back, and something could have changed here, but she kind of called them out. They were being advertised for January, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember exactly what she wrote, but it was basically acknowledging that they shouldn't be advertised without their permission at this point, because there had been no agreement made. And Bennett's a guy who's been, there have been some rumblings about him in NXT for a while. Maria had, in the past, has said she'll drop him. You know, good for him. They're married, obviously, but if he were to be signed by WWE, that'd be great for him. And I will drop him off at the door. You know, I don't know that she wants to go back, but hey, you know, time heals all wounds. Maybe things would change there. I'm not quite sure, but certainly worth keeping an eye on with that situation. That could require a tag title change, obviously, and hey. Putting the titles on War Machine, not a bad idea if that's indeed the way they go on Sunday. Or, I'm sorry, on Friday. I'm so used to saying Sunday for live special or for pay-per-views. So War Machine go over there. They go to break. They come back, and it's Dalton Castle beating Mike Posey in the third match. Posey is like bringing PG-13 back. Not the movie rating, but the tag team. He's got kind of like this bad rapper gimmick, and he's got a posse with him. I think it was like two women and three men with him, and he does this rap bit, and it was the crowd's all over him for it. And Castle ends up taking care of him pretty easily, like a spinning face for a slam, and he pins him. And then after the match, he cuts a promo. He calls out Silas Young, and he even swore, saying he was going to kick his ass. And Kevin Kelly was right there to say that choice of language is unlike Dalton Castle. And then the boys came out instead, and Dalton's, you know, his former, I wouldn't even say minions, his boys came out. And so as Dalton is focused on the boys, who he desperately wants back, and they've been showing signs lately that they may not feel the same way. They might kind of like what the life that Silas Young has kind of turned them onto. But Young comes out on the opposite side of the ring and attacks Dalton Castle and hits him with Misery. So this was fine. I mean, as far as, you know, the first couple of matches were just showcase, nothing. You know, nothing really wrong with them. This was better. At least you had kind of an angle that plays into what they're going to a match they're going to do on Friday. I did like that. Pretty simple and effective. Then we get Kevin Kelly hyping an interview, and they go to commercial. When they come back, Jerry Lynn, former ECW and of course Ring of Honor champion, comes out. They played a video package for him. Jerry has short hair. He's clean shaven. He kind of, it's funny because, you know, he's a heavy metal guy. I think he's really into the death metal if you've heard his entrance music. And he reminds me now of a guy that some of the 80s metal bands that I grew up on, where they all had the long hair and everything, and now you see him and they're clean cut looking. They've got their shorter hair, and that's what Jerry looks like, as a guy that if you saw him, you'd be like, I wonder, was he like in a band at some point or something? Where do I know him from? But he looks good. You know, I think the look works for him. And so it was really good to see him, especially knowing that, you know, he went through a very serious neck injury and surgery. And I think he's still having some back issues. But he looked good. And it was very nice to see him. The crowd wasn't all that receptive. And I don't know, you know, this was like four shows that they taped, or the fourth, the fifth, I can't remember how many they tape at once, but it was kind of late in the taping. He lives in Nashville now. He worked in TNA, so he has Nashville history, but this live crowd just, you know, it's like they were polite. It wasn't like they were booing him, but some people were into it, but most of them just kind of sat there. It's like, oh man, that's disappointing. I didn't like that, because Jerry Lynn certainly deserves better. But the idea here was Kelly was interviewing him about the main event of Final Battle, and he was asking him whether Styles or Lethal would win, and he just kind of, you know, tiptoed around it a little bit. And then as Kelly was putting him on the spot about it, that's when Lethal comes out with Truth Martini and Taylor Hendricks. And cool to see Taylor Hendricks in Ring of Honor. They haven't really established why she's there, who she's with, but she's clearly with Truth Martini and company. But I'd kind of like them to define what her role is. Lynn offered a handshake. Lethal didn't accept, and he wanted to know exactly, you know, who Lynn thought was going to win. Go ahead and say it. And he called him an arrogant prick. And Lynn said, that's the overconfidence, that overconfidence is what can cost matches. And they go back and forth a little bit. Good exchange. What I didn't like was Jerry Lynn said that Lethal was getting ready to hit him, and Jerry Lynn said, you know, talked about how he knew his parents, and as long as he's known Lethal. And he said Lethal's parents wouldn't be proud of him if he laid a hand on him. And that would make Lethal, it would make, you know, make it one of Lethal's saddest moments in his life, because his parents mean so much to him. Hey, if you've been following Jay Lethal's career, you know he's very tight with his parents, and they're regulars at his matches and things like that. I just don't need to hear the top heel in Ring of Honor is kind of a mama's boy, if you will. You know, that he's that. I just don't want to think of him that way. I, you know, just because of the way he's changed his image now, I wouldn't have gone there. I wouldn't have made it seem like this guy, this despicable heel, cares what mom and dad think so much. I didn't care for that part of it, but Lethal got worked up, and he started talking about his accomplishments in 2015, and he said he's, and then Lethal said that he's the number one man in professional wrestling, and then dropped the mic and left the ring with his crew. So no physicality. I wasn't expecting any, certainly, with what Jerry Lynn has gone through medically. And, you know, he's retired now. But it was still very nice to see Jerry Lynn back on television. Wish the live crowd would have been a little more receptive, respectful. Some were. Others, you know, they weren't negative. But it's just, you want to see a guy like Jerry Lynn, who wrestled for so long in so many places, get a better reaction than he did here. That was a little bit disappointing to me, but still very good to see him. And I thought Lethal was good here. I just would have taken out that one part about the parents. And I also have to say, I would have flip-flopped. You know, this with that AJ Styles segment that I referenced from a couple weeks ago, I would have done this segment with Jerry Lynn and Jay Lethal on that show, or even last week, and then saved that AJ and Jay Lethal confrontation here for the final segment of the Go Home show. I think that would have been a real nice boost and really, you know, left you feeling excited, more excited about Final Battle than this show did overall. It wasn't over, however. We got a Moose video package and kind of set up. It was basically a Michael Elgin and Moose video package to set up their match at Final Battle. And then we got Kevin Kelly recapping Alex Shelley unmasking as the mystery man in front of his former tag partner, Chris Sabin. And then Shelley sat in on commentary for the main event. It was like he's a tag team specialist, and so he's here to call the tag team match. And that tag team match was ACH and Matt Sydal beating Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero, Roppongi Vice. A good match. But again, the issue with, I think, Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero, it's if you... I feel like Ring of Honor feels like all of their fans are like super indie fans. And so, or they follow Japanese wrestling closely, or both. And they don't think that, well, the casual fan out there might just turn on Ring of Honor and be like, hey, what's this? And start to like it. And so they never really give you, they don't tell you enough about guys like Beretta and Romero. They don't get promo time, and I get that Romero's not known as a great stick guy, but still, I think you need to do more to introduce these guys to the crowd. Kevin Kelly does what he can, but I think it needs to be kind of written in. There needs to be a better description. You know, they need to do something within the show, and it's not just these guys. Even the Young Bucks, it's kind of like you feel like you're late to the Young Buck party, I think, if you're not watching the indies and you're not watching their work in New Japan and you only see them in Ring of Honor. It's like, you know, their matches are a lot of fun, but I kind of wish I knew more about these guys. And AJ Styles is the same thing. Now, I think, you know, obviously more people know AJ Styles than Roppongi Vice as far as more casual viewers are concerned. But we rarely hear from AJ Styles on ROH television. It's the strangest thing. I don't know why. And it was cool when he actually did speak on that last, or, you know, a couple weeks ago on television. And that, again, that's why I would have had that here. I would have made that the final pitch, not a match with ACH and Matt Sydal against Roppongi Vice that does nothing as far as like setting up something for the pay-per-view. At least on the surface, maybe there's some purpose for it that'll play out. But I mean, this match easily could have been, you know, the main event of next week's show, which is just kind of, it's a filler show because it was taped before, you know, it'll air after Final Battle. So it's not, you know, as far as matches are concerned, it's just kind of inconsequential stuff. This could have been the opening match on this show. And even then, it was like, man, does this really need to be here, given that it doesn't play into anything at Final Battle? So I think they need to get better with that, but at least they're more consistent in hyping their actual pay-per-view events now throughout the course of their show, because there have been some cases where the company has really done a bad job with that. And so it's improved a little bit in that regard, but I still think they could step it up. And it's too bad because I went on a rant about the way they showcase even some of their great television main events that they have last week in my written review at prowrestling.net. This doesn't have so much to do with Final Battle, but it just gets frustrating when you see that they have these great tag matches. I think last week was Young Bucks and Briscoes. It's like a dream independent match, right? I mean, a really dream Ring of Honor match. It's a really good tag team match. And it's one of those, like, if you're going to an ROH show and that's announced as the main event, you're like, hot damn, you're excited about it. And they just throw it out there. There's no build. You don't know what purpose it serves. You don't know why the match is happening. You don't really hear from the teams. And so there's flaws with Ring of Honor television that I think it overlooked for a couple of reasons. One, because people are more focused on WWE, certainly, and NXT. But two, they have just good wrestling. And for some people, that's going to be enough for them. They may wish they had some of those other elements to it, but it's Ring of Honor. They're known for wrestling. They'll just kind of let it slide. I think they miss out on attracting more casual viewers by not doing a better job of showcasing these big main events, making them feel as big to the casual viewer as they are to the viewer who knows everything there is to know about these guys. But again, I can talk about that any week, but just a couple of the flaws that are standing out when it comes to Ring of Honor television. All of that said, looking forward to Final Battle. It is a really good card on paper. Hopefully AJ Styles back is feeling good enough that he can go out there and not just kind of get through the match, but hopefully it's feeling good enough that he and Jay Lethal can go out there and have the type of match that you would hope that those two could have, you know, if both were healthy. So hopefully AJ is doing well, and it just looks like a nice card. I'm impressed by the lineup, and again, with some of those contractual situations that you can still listen to that November 25th edition of .NET Weekly to get a better idea of what I'm talking about. I gave you a couple of them. There's a lot more in there. It's going to be an interesting show, an interesting weekend for Ring of Honor with their television taping as well, trying to figure out, okay, what does this mean? Is this a sign that so-and-so is leaving? A lot going on in Ring of Honor as far as that is concerned. And again, more details on the ProWrestling.net Weekly audio show, available exclusively for members. The November 25th edition is the one that has all that information. But that is going to do it for now. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to join me on Friday night for live coverage of Final Battle as the pay-per-view airs. And until then, thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. May the Force be with you.